that. Other than that, I hadn't been, never been to college, never planned to go to college, never even given a thought. Then when the Lord called me to ministry, I thought, well, I know you don't have to have a college degree necessarily to be a pastor. But I thought it added credibility. You really went back and you put some effort into it, and I found out that that's exactly what it was. It was a lot of effort. I can remember thinking, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. I can remember thinking, I can't do this, and that this is overwhelming. I'm trying to raise a family. I'm trying to pay a mortgage. I'm trying to do all these things. I just can't do it. And I know the Lord had told me unequivocally, I want you to serve me full time. And I said, Lord, I can't do it. The Lord says, I still want you to serve me full time. See, God says He doesn't change His mind. The Bible says the calling of God is without repentance. You say, well, that's good because you're a pastor. You know, you're called to be the best Christian you can possibly be. Amen? You are called by God to be the best example in 2012. The best example of a Christian in this world. You know what? God doesn't change His mind. He doesn't say, well, it's because you grew up in this kind of family or this kind of environment. Well, I just understand that's just the best you can do. There is no excuses with God. And I learned early on, I told the kids to write this down. I said, my understanding of diligence is you've got to make it happen. How many ever know what that means? There's times you just got to make something happen. Now, it doesn't matter whether you know how it's going to work out. You just got to make that happen. And I can remember, and I just used this time of going through school and trying to work and trying to raise a family. And I can remember that I had a test, or I had to have a Hebrew history timeline of judges all done by a certain time. And I can remember staying up many, many, many times all night. I never went to bed. My wife will testify. I'd study until I couldn't study no more, and then I'd fall asleep with my head on the table. I'd get up, shower, shave, brush my teeth, go to school. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm saying there's times in your life. And I think that defines the Christian life, that you're just going to make it happen. When we think about this responsibility that we have to have our finances in order, is one of those things that you've got to say, I have just got to make this happen. Out of it are the issues of life. Tell me how many things surround what you do with your finances. Come on. Is it a few things? Does it affect every facet of your life? It can affect your sleep. It can affect your waking. It affects your health. See, your heart is what God wants to deal with. See, if God gets a person's heart, then really what He's got, He says He has the ability to make things happen in your life. A lot of people just resolve, well, I can't be, I'm not really a bold person, I really can't be a soul, I can't go on the street, I can't give out tracts. They give up before they even start. But when you say, no, this is what God says a disciple is, and I'm going to be the best disciple that God has called me, because He says, you keep your heart. Listen, you have all the resources necessary. You have the truth. Come on, lift up your Bible. Let me see if you have the truth with you. Right? If you're born again, if you're a child of God, if you've repented of your sins, If you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have God's Spirit. His Holy Spirit. And He says, without me, you can do what? But He says, with me, all things are possible. Isn't that exactly what God says? Well, in and of yourself, you can't do it. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, His truth, His Spirit, you can do what? Anything and everything that God calls you to do. I can remember thinking that over and over again. I had a family that was well on their way and being raised. And I can think, oh my Lord, you don't understand. My son's going to be in seventh grade. My other son's going to be in fifth. And I think April's going to be in third or something like that. And I didn't get a good start. And I don't know how. I've made a mess out of this thing. And I don't know how it's going to work. But I don't think it's going to work. And God says, you're going to make it happen. God doesn't take any excuses. Why should He? When they're on the sea, and Peter's saying, "Lord, don't you care that we perish?" The waves were overwhelming. They were kind of, "We're going down. We're dying. This is it." And the Lord is asleep in the boat. What do you think? How do you think the Lord felt when He said that? Come on, Peter. Who's with you? I haven't left you. I haven't forsaken you. I was always here to help you. Why did you wait so long? Why did you wait till you're consumed and overwhelmed? Why didn't you just come to me as soon as you recognized you had a need? Doesn't that describe the average Christian? They don't wait and say, well, I need to go take this. I'm going to put this before the Lord. I'm not the soul winner I need. I'm not the father. I'm not the mother. I'm not the brother or the son I need to be. I'm not the sister or a daughter I need to be. Why don't you just take it to God and say, Lord, I know You have a plan and You can change me. He says, from it is the issues of life. And that you think it's a small little thing, that heart. But what does He say? My son, give me thine... Come on. Give me your heart. Once you give your heart to the Lord, He's not going to disappoint you. When you're going to put the effort and diligence that you need into being that son of God. And when I mentioned the idea of diligence that it gives in the Scriptures, it's to accomplish that which is undertaken. Constant application, attentive, careful, regular in attendance. Say, I'm going to make it happen. By the grace of God, I'm going to make it happen. To me, when I look at that, I'm saying, boy, can't the Christian life be exciting then? I mean, you're not looking at it, well, maybe I can do it. You're saying what? I can do all things. Right? Isn't that what your Bible says? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Hey, we've never had our finances in order. Hey, today's going to be, it may take a month, it may take 2 months, it may take a year, but I'm going to get this thing in order. I'm going to have a budget and I'm going to keep that budget and we're not only going to be having our things in order, we're going to have extra because God's going to say He's going to place His favor. I firmly believe this. I really do believe this. I'm going to show you Scripture how this plays out. Turn your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 5. We're going to look at that because here we have clear evidence that the Lord intends for us to make things happen. Verse number 27. I'll go back to verse 26. For who is there? This is chapter 5 of Deuteronomy in verse number 27. Now I know this is the Jewish nation and he's talking to him as a theocracy. But look at 27. It says, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say. And speak unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it, and what? Oh, that seems like a good spirit, right heart. Go thou near, and the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee, that they have well said all that they have spoken. So is God happy with their attitude? Yeah, right now he says that, hey, we're going to do what you tell us to do. But look what the Lord applies. Verse number 29. Maybe it'd do well to read it together. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Now, what do you hear there? That expression, what? Oh. Oh, that there really was such a heart in them. He says they do honor me with their mouth, but their what? Their heart's far from me. They know what they're supposed to do. They know what is right. And that's the right mind, but they don't have the right heart. And there's only one way I know to get a right heart, and that's that you get before God and you say, Lord, you know, I know what is right and I, but I make excuses why I can't do what is right, and I just lay it aside and I just give up on something and I faint, and he needs to get before God and say, now wait a minute, Lord, that is not what faith is, and I want you to change my life. I want you to change not my life, but to change my heart. That's not going to be done. And I guarantee you, there's going to be people when they look at this financial piece, they're going to get a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks into this, and they're going to start to faint. What do you mean by faint? They're going to keel over? No, they're going to quit. Oh, they'll come to the meetings. But they're not going to get, they're not really serious. I've been looking already and said, I'm looking at it and saying, wow, how am I going to do that? And I'm thinking, every option's open. To me, I'm going to make it happen. Some way or another, you're going to hear it within pretty quickly, the first meeting, you say, I'm not going to make that happen. I tell you what, if I have to sell peanuts on the corner, I'm going to make it happen. Look with me again, Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Look at verse 7. He says, for what nation is there so great who hath a God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all the things that we call upon Him for? Is there anybody, any nation like ours? Or we could, this is talking about the nation of Israel. Is there any church like ours? Let's put it that way. Is there any church like ours that has a God so close to them? Yes or no? There's nobody else. It should be. We are God's people, right? Washed in the blood, right? Given His Word, given His will, given His Holy Spirit. Look in verse 9. He says, what? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul what? Now we go back and we look at that word diligently again. What was diligently? That's just the phrase I'm thinking of. I got to make it what? I got to make it happen. I'm going to keep my heart with all diligence and steady in the application of business, constant in effort and exertion to accomplish what is undertaken. Is that you? Should be. Verse number Only take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligent, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. Now, what is he referring to there? He's referring to their deliverance out of the land of Egypt. Was that a miracle? How many think that was a miracle? Pharaoh's army? Pharaoh did not want to let him go. He put up with all those 10 plagues, and even after his own son was killed by the Lord, he still went after them. They looked like dead ducks. Was that a miracle? Yes, it was. Especially to the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said, "Gather unto me." Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their what? Children. And we've used that word fear. A couple times we've heard that. We look at fear. Fear is a great motivator. It really does work. You that are parents, loving parents, use fear. How do you know what I'm talking about? Your children change their habits by what? Fear. They have a respect for you, but they learn to what? They learn to fear you. There's consequences for things that they don't do that they're supposed to do, and they learn to fear you, and they're much happier when they're able to do what they're supposed to do because they're doing the right thing. Let's look at what it says here. Looking down in verse number 14. The Bible says, "And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, you might," what? "You might do them." Teach you statutes and judgments. See, that's the fine details of the Christian life. Here's the principle, but how do I get down to the application? Here's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to have my finances in order. I'm supposed to have money to be able to give to the poor and provide for others, not only for myself, but for others. Here's the principle. How do I do it? Well, here's the detail. Verse 14. In the land whither thou goest to possess it, take heed, therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. He says, no manner of similitude. What are you saying? There's nobody that's ever told you that could be done before. There's nobody that's ever said that's possible to be done. We look, one of the things when I read in that book, there's consumer debt in our country is at the figure of $4 trillion. $4 trillion. That's not a few folks with a few dollars that they owe somebody else. Who's holding the debt? Who? China's holding the debt. Our debt. We are debtors to a heathen nation. Is that right? Is that right for Christians to be debtors to a heathen nation? It's ungodly. And it testifies to our lack of ability to understand that God is dishonored by that. So right heart, number one. This clock is off, isn't it? Go quickly. First of all, you got to die to self. You're never going to make it happen, and you're never going to be diligent until you say, "I have got to die to self." I'm not saying that there isn't opportunity to be tempted, but you will die to self. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. You must, by the grace of God, die to self. Look in verse number 16. The Bible says, He spake a parable unto them, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. He thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where it's to bestow my fruits? He said, This will I do, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said... See, what's the problem here? Little phrase, he thought within himself. Doesn't that really describe our financial predicament? Instead of consulting with God and asking God what His mind is, what His heart is, what I should, is debt right? Should I go out and buy this car? And should I go out and buy this thing and this thing when I still owe these people money? And should I? He thought within who? You said you did what? How did you get in that predicament? You thought within what? You didn't consult God. You didn't consult the idea of faith and saying, well, maybe I really don't need this because it's got God's will. Maybe I'm not going to have God's blessing upon my life if I do this. Turn with me to Deuteronomy again. Deuteronomy. The principles, I think, that are taught to the Jewish people and the Israelites, to me, I think, they have such value in our day. Deuteronomy chapter 15, look. He says, and we're going to read through this. He says, at the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. This is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thy hand shall release. Save when there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, for an inheritance possess it. So what's God say? He's going to greatly what? He says, that if you follow me in the right way, He says, you're going to have sufficient for all that you need. Verse number 5, only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all, what? These commandments, which I command thee this day. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as He promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. Thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not want. So we understand the problem, don't we? Is this money a little thing? Is it a little thing? No. Have we let it go? How many think we've let it go? Some of you don't think so. Let me look at your bank account then. Let me ask you if you've given to everybody that you wanted to. Turn back to Deuteronomy again, chapter, latter part of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Yeah, let's see if we can find it. So you have to die to self. I was going to I'll give it to you. Let me see if I can find it. Bear with me. No, it's the blessing and cursing. It's in Deuteronomy, and I thought I had it written down, but I miswritten or something. Is it? Is it? Well, I don't have it written down here. I don't know. Maybe I do, and I just... Yes, I think it is. Yes, it is. If you look down at there, it says here, verse number 10 of first 20, chapter 27. It says, "Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, to do his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day." And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people. And when ye are come over Jordan, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Joseph, and Benjamin, and these shall stand upon the Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak, and they shall say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, Cursed be the man that maketh any graven image, and goes on down and gives all the curses that'll fall upon those people if they fail to respond to God's command. Verse number, chapter 28, look down at verse number 1. "It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God shall set thee on high above all the nations of earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be the basket of thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven. And the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse, and in all thy setting settest thine hand. Settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land of the Lord thy God giveth thee, and the Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods and fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground and the land of which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open to thee his good treasure in heaven to give the rain in thy land in its season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, thou shalt not be beneath, if thou shalt hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe to do them." Verse 15, and we're going to stop the reading. He says, "But if thou shalt come, but it shall come to pass that thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." And again, he mentions all the curses that are mentioned earlier. I say, what's the point? It comes to that place of diligence. What do you mean, Pastor? In other words, hard work. effort. When you think it's not going to happen, you get on your prayer bones and you say, Lord, it's got to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but according to your word, I can make it happen by faith. Because God, I know that you're the author of all blessings. As the Bible says in the New Testament, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. Listen, God wants us as individuals, as families, to hold God to His Word. You say, are you saying, Pastor, that if we do this, that I'll have a nice house and a nice car? And no, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying to you is that you're going to be happy and you will not be in debt. You'll pay your bills and you'll serve God uninterrupted. And you'll be the happiest person, I believe. And you're going to pass on to your children and to your children's children, if the Lord tarries, a gift of being able to live in this world. No matter, I don't care if there's a dozen Barack Obamas and they raise the taxes 100 times, that you'll still be a blessed individual. Because God is bigger than any country and He's bigger than any president. But we've got to be willing to say, well, am I going to be diligent? A lot of people think they're going to make it happen by their own effort. That's a recipe for failure. We're going to start those classes tonight. I pray that you'll come and you'll say, okay, I'm going to learn things I've never learned before. I'm going to do things I've never done before. My heart isn't exactly in tune with it. But I'm going to take Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, and I'm going to make an application. I'm going to keep my heart. I'm going to put my heart in tune with God's heart. And if that happens, then God is going to accomplish something that's never, ever happened before. But who's the responsibility lie upon? Who? You. It's up to you. By faith, it's up to you. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it. And by the grace of God, your pastor is going to make it happen. Let's stand as we close. Heavenly Father, we spoke of what you can do and will do because, Father, you